Welcome to the Recycle Podcast, where we discuss everyday issues from a mental health perspective. We are your hosts, Dr. Rashonda Strickland,
Dr. LaFanya Jones-Hines,
and Dr. Nichelle Wall. Now don't get it twisted. We're not going to be your stereotypical therapist.
What we will be is informative, down to earth, a little spicy, and vulnerable.
All right, interns, turn up your volume, grab your pen and paper. It's supervision time. As a reminder, this podcast is not meant to take the place of a relationship with a licensed mental health professional.
Welcome back. It's supervision time. Welcome to another Disbroad. Today, we're going to be discussing a lot of different topics, but first we want to make sure we give you the mood music. Today's mood music is a brand new song, which goes with one of our topics, and that is Boyfriend by Usher Raymond and featuring Keke Palmer.
Hot off the presses.
Hot. Just viewed today. Literally.
Well, y'all know I love these two. Because we get to like be ourselves and just be free.
Yes, yes.
So speaking of Keke Palmer, that's for topic one, right?
Topic one.
Yeah. When I say there's no such thing as bad press, that's what I was thinking when I saw this video. I was like, in Hollywood, you can really get away with truly just about anything. And it will still benefit you in some sort of way. So I was like, yeah, no such thing as bad press.
The pettiness of this video.
That part
is what I'm loving.
That part.
I mean, she gonna show you how to get a coin. She gonna show you how to get a bag. She got merch. She like, okay, this happened. I'm gonna roll with it. I'm not gonna really say nothing about my actual relationship, but I'm gonna profit off of all the craziness that made it go viral.
Yeah, and I don't blame her. You know, use it. It's your story, and Usher's story. As a matter of fact, so, you know, ain't nothing wrong with using your story to your benefit. And
she's the perfect person. Her and Usher are the perfect people to use the story because it's theirs instead of allowing other people to tell their version of what the story is.
Yeah. And I don't think it was done in a disrespectful way because that could have gone a whole lot of ways on, you know, the way that they executed on that video. So I don't think that they did it in a way that was disrespectful. It was very subliminal.
Your lips didn't want to stop.
They didn't. It was very subliminal. But also, like, we know who we're talking about. You know why you're here.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was cute.
But what I will say is I am extremely appreciative that really all it was is her getting to fangirl, which is exactly what she was doing at the concert, and redoing some of his classic moves from You Don't Have to Call. It's like, I know the whole routine.
The whole outfit.
Yes, the whole outfit. Yeah. And then I like that it was a replay, really kind of that night, getting ready with your girls, getting ready to go out.
Because she had a black dress on, too, walking down the hall.
She did. And then the only flip was she fell asleep because she was so tired, and the little shots fired at the end.
Yeah.
Again, subbing hard.
Yeah, I like the twinsy outfit. You know, it was cute.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Y'all should go on YouTube and watch it.
Yeah, and that the lyrics weren't like overly
disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, it was just this is not about to be no summer anthem or nothing like that. But
right.
You know, it was
chill.
It was a cute little song. You know, it'll probably have its, you know, 5 minutes of fame or whatnot and fade back off into the distance because this is definitely not an Usher classic.
But, you know, it's catchy. You can dance to it. And like, you petty. All right.
And then move on. It's like a cool little song that you probably have in the background.
I would agree with
somewhere.
That.
It's got a nice little chill summer vibe versus a like, we rowdy and we about to go do something summer vibe. It's like the more beginning of summer.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to see how to, you know, I've already seen a little bit of people kind of lashing out at it and talking about how people are happy that she ruined her family and all these other kind of things. I was like, nobody is happy about that. Actually, I think a lot of people are sad that this didn't work out for Keke Palmer, because she is one of like those kind of like Black American favorites.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, kind of the same vibe that Gabrielle Union gave, Nia Long gave. Like, she's kind of in those realms of like the energy that she puts off as an actress. So it's like, no, people wanted it to succeed, but since it didn't, go on and do your thing.
Yeah. But we also don't know why it didn't succeed, because it may not have been because of this dress. It may have been added up things.
And yes, a lot of relationships kind of end by, you know, death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily, for the most part, one giant situation that ended a relationship. It's all these tiny little tick marks that you just kind of, over months, years, or decades, it adds up. And one day it's like, you know what? Yeah, the fact that you didn't take trash out, that's it. That was it right there. I can't do it no more.
Yeah.
And for him, it could have been the fact that you wore that dress out and about. I can't do it no more. I mean, so either and one, it could have been. But yeah, it is. Yeah. It is his right. You know, the thing about it is, I'm glad. Now, granted, I would have preferred for him to speak to her privately and address it privately. However, I am glad that he expressed himself. He had a problem with it, and I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, I'm also glad that Keke kept her stuff private.
Yes.
I'm
not everything is for social media.
No, right.
And not everything is for social media.
Like we talked about when we first discussed it on our other Disbroad, you know, she had already said, if something is going on in this relationship, you ain't never going to hear nothing from me. She said, I'm Stevie with it. I don't see nothing. I don't know nothing. And then I will have a conversation with you in private, but I'm not ever going to take that out. And I can appreciate that she was very much sticking to that, regardless of how everything played out.
Absolutely. You know, you got to protect your own peace, because nobody is going to do it like you do.
No, she got a whole child, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. They're going to always be in each other's lives, because they have a child together, you know. So either way, hopefully they were able to reconcile it, you know, in peace, and still walk away and be friends and parents so that they can co-parent.
Yeah. That's the important part at the end of the day.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, our next topic is, you know, a little bit of a sad one. We have some heavy hitters on the roster today, but this one is about the wildfires in Hawaii, specifically Maui. And just, you know, we are definitely sending our prayers out to all of the people on the islands and those that have lost their lives and the families of those individuals. And we are keeping you guys prayed up and sending lots of love and light.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is just another example of the failure of a lot of American infrastructures. You know, we had the same similar kind of issue here in Texas a couple of years ago when our electrical grid failed and was not able to support, you know,
heat
and record low temperatures for us. And, you know, while we did not have wildfires, but again, it is another description of how our systems are just not being maintained, watched over, and, you know, used in a way that is efficient for what you're trying to use them for. And that corporate greed really has, unfortunately, taken over so many industries. And, you know, it's really sad that we as a nation have kind of left these individuals to their own devices and said, you know, hey, we know you're in paradise, but whatever.
I think it's one thing to provide services and materials that, you know, are cost effective, but there are certain things that you should not skim on, like these electrical, and I don't know why they fail, but this whole system, when it comes to people's livelihood, safety, and protection. Those are not things that corporate companies, government, whoever need to skim on, because as we see, people lose their lives because of it. We are the ones that have to, that's impacted by their lack of care and protection. The thing about it is we pay taxes. We, you know, put money in and have to pay taxes even when we do our taxes, even though we pay taxes all year. But y'all don't show us the proof of what you're doing with our taxes other than frivolously spending the money on things that don't matter.
I think one of the saddest parts about this situation is that at least for the last 2 years, you've seen a huge outpouring of the Hawaiian people and their islands talking about trying to slow down consumerism and really trying to save the islands. And, you know, their natural resources are depleting. And then something like this pretty much takes a whole island out of commission. It's it breaks my heart to just see the devastation, because Hawaii just has such a rich spiritual history as well as a beautiful economy as far as the fauna and flora and all of that kind of stuff. So to see that wiped out and possibly have endangered some species now, it's just,
I think, you know, it's a twofold issue kind of in my mind. One, you know, we have a grass species that is not native to Hawaii, and one, because of bringing livestock that is not native to the island. And then also us not listening to brown people, you know, the individual, you know, the indigenous people of the island have said multiple times that they do not want us coming to the island anymore.
They have said it several times because we are increasing the,
not from a place of control, but one, it takes time for, you know, earth to replenish itself. Like if you plant corn and tobacco and all these things in the same thing over and over and over and over in the same soil, it becomes useless. And then you can only grow certain other types of crops to kind of replenish the soil. Or like during the early days of, you know, the vid, and thinking about like California, when the smog, when there were not cars on the road, and the amount of you could actually see certain parts of the skyline that hadn't been seen in, you know, years. Even in India, same thing.
Now we're back to orange and red.
Right. So, you know, the indigenous people have said multiple times, like, you need, our lands need to be replenished, and that is going to take time. But because we live in such a consumer based society and selfish luxury based. And we use our resources until they're gone. We just aren't listening. And this is an after effect of not listening.
And I think also people forget, for the most part, Hawaii is volcanic land. And yes, it does. It is nutrient dense once it turns into land versus hardened lava, you know, but that takes time. You know, these are very small pieces of land, like in the grand scheme of, like, if we compared it to Texas, this is like the panhandle of Texas. Like, this is a very small piece. So I think people have to kind of realize that it's going to take a lot to get them back. You know, life loss, you can't ever get that back. But I know that the spirituality of the indigenous people, they have their own rituals and rites and things that they will more than likely do to make peace with that journey for their loved ones. But as far as restoring, this is going to be a long process.
Oh, absolutely.
And so hopefully, you know, we will listen to them and, you know, allow time for their land to heal. Like, they need to heal as the people, and their land need to heal. You know, I think we can be so inconsiderate of the needs of the people, and we don't pay attention to the boundaries. And now look what's going on.
We have a question from Ro. And she asked, do you think climate change plays a part in all of this?
I would say in this particular incident,
no, my opinion.
No, I would say that this particular incident is man
operated
failure. Man operated, man failure. However, I do think that climate change is playing a significant part in other natural disasters. You know, I mean, we are experiencing a summer here in Texas.
El Nino.
Unlike
El
one.
Nino.
And I've been here your just about all my life. Yeah. And this is a summer like, baby, what?
Yeah. And I think
it's hot as fish grease out here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize is that for the last few years, we've been in what they call a La Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And in a La Nina, you have typically cooler weather, which is how we got to the place of having freezes in Texas, almost falling off the edge of the United States. And now we're on the flip side of that, where we haven't seen this since childhood, like this level of heat. And I'm telling you right now,
this early in the summer,
I'm elderly. At this point, I can't handle this heat. I'd be like, where is my fan at?
Yeah.
Because okay, I ain't gonna be able to do
mine
it.
In my purse, my little. I got the.
Oh,
little,
you got an electric.
Yeah, I got an electric one now, too. I was blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Shout out to Malika.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is. Now, what I do recommend for everybody that is concerned about the indigenous people and the people on the islands of Hawaii is to look for the different groups that are actually doing the work to help, because there are tons of them. Make sure you research them. We don't have any particular ones that we are supporting because we didn't want to, you know,
sway
anybody in the wrong direction. I recommend that you look for indigenous people, brown people. Still make sure that they
are legit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go that route. I know there are a lot of celebrities getting on board, so you may be able to kind of follow them and see what you can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa would be a good person to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very
involved
with his community. So he might be a good avenue to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
And Oprah, y'all know she got land over there, too. And she's doing some stuff over there. But I don't know if she's opened it up to the public to assist her. Mm-hmm. I just know she's doing things.
Also, if y'all know of the beauty influencer Bretman Rock, he has a video that he recently put out with tons of different fundraisers, and that is a legitimate one. So, you know,
yeah, he has a whole list.
Yeah,
it's a lot of them.
They actually have the actual families that have lost people and things and homes and all of that. So he may be also a good way to kind of funnel the efforts to get to the right thing.
You know, I think one of the things that makes me really upset about this situation, beyond just the whole situation itself, is, you know, the Biden administration said that they were going to give the, you know, individuals $700.
That's such an insult.
What's $700 going to do on the mainland, let alone Hawaii, which is one of the most expensive places to live?
Because everything is imported.
Yes.
Like a majority of things are imported.
Other than seawater.
Right. I'm like, $700?
What is that?
We got more than that during the, you know, the quarantine phase.
Like,
$700?
What is that going to do?
Nothing.
Like, that can't even get you in a hotel room over there?
Not even for a week. That's about 2-3 days in a hotel room. And not even one with a kitchenette. That's just a regular joint.
And these are families.
Yes.
That's not going to help them buy no food. Where they going to get the food from? Mm-hmm. Where they going to get the water from? Like, I know a lot of them, they're still working on evacuation and things like that, and still searching, you know, because that's going to be ongoing, because people do still want to try to recover bodies and things like that. But what is that supposed to help do?
Yeah. Nothing.
I really need us to do better.
I need people to band together the same way they band together when Notre Dame went up in flames. That's what I need to happen.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one.
Because that's a building.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I get it's a historic building, but it ain't people and land and
mm-hmm.
a whole island.
Yeah. So devastating.
Yeah.
So devastating.
She Sorry popping bottles that. Over here, y'all.
I forgot that we didn't have our libation. We just jumped right on in.
We did. We went all out of order.
I know.
We struggling, y'all. We struggling.
Don't normally do that.
So, just keep them in your prayers.
Absolutely.
Please and, do. You know, if you can do something, do something. You know, don't just talk about it. Be about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, y'all, our next topic is a little bit of a doozy. We're gonna take you hard and fast since we're already going down this path. And our next topic is centering on the Rankin County Six, which is a group of six police officers. And as you can see, this is their photos from the different trials that they've been in. And those officers, because I like to call perpetrators by name, are Brett McAlpin, Jeffrey Middleton, Christian Dedman. I don't know if that's Aaron or Friend. Let me get my life together. That's from the bottom. Y'all get my life together. Hunter Elward, Daniel Optic, and ex-Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield.
Mm.
So if y'all don't know about this story, these six officers received a call about these two African-American men staying in a home that had a Caucasian woman in it. And the Caucasian woman that made the call, I'm assuming, did not like that. And she contacted one of her buddies at the police department, and they called themselves the Goon Squad. And the Goon Squad uses excessive force when they do their arrest. They have admitted to this. This is all known information from their mouths. And when they do these things, they inflict a lot of torture, pain, all that. This is homegrown terrorism at its finest.
Mm.
So,
oh my God, this is disgusting, but not surprising.
The thing that I was talking to Dr. Wall about earlier is, you know, it's one thing to, you know, want to torture people. You know, it's not good by no means. But then there's another thing for you to want to emasculate people. Like, why does your brain go to, I'm going to
dehumanize?
Yeah. I'm going to dehumanize you by belittling you to the smallest
mm-hmm.
piece of human that I can think of. Like, how does your brain do that?
Mm-hmm.
How does it switch to that? Like, instead of just arresting the person.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people forget groupthink is a real thing. You know, you can get caught up in what other people are doing, and it doesn't, even if you yourself don't necessarily want to do it, but you want to be accepted, you want to fit in. And
yeah, because I think two of these officers was like in their 20s, 26 yeah, mm-hmm. and 27.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you want to be seen as capable. So sometimes people get caught up in things and do things that they would not normally do under other circumstances. And, you know, this is one of those types of situations where you have a group of individuals who started to have like a hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's usually some sort of leader with a hive mind, but, you know, you all start thinking alike, you start doing the same things. And in this case, it led to some really, you know, hurtful, disturbing behavior.
Yeah. And from what we can tell, and we're not going to do too far into specifics because we don't know where our listeners are at, and we try to be sensitive to that. But essentially, they entered the home, and the first individual kind of attacked one of the victims, the survivors, let's call them what they are, the survivors, and began to beat him up, tase him. And they were came into the house and they got the second individual and started doing some of the same things. They poured different liquids all over them. They tased them. This went on for hours. Used some intimacy toys on them. And where things for them took a turn was they were brandishing their weapons and putting them in the individual's mouth and pulling the trigger after they had cleared it. And then one of them got shot.
One of the survivors.
The survivors got shot in his tongue and it came out through his mouth. And he will have to go through countless years of speech therapy and things like that to be able to speak again. And so they were going to cover this up. Well, they did. Let's reframe.
They tried to frame them.
They framed them.
They had illegal substances.
Uh-huh. But if that was the case, you also, if anybody has ever gone to medical school, you can tell how long wounds have been on a body. You can tell how long somebody has endured torture. You can tell different defensive wounds and different things like that. So the story didn't add up.
Yeah.
But they've been trying to get some traction on this story for months because this actually did not happen recently. It happened several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. January, right?
I believe January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
January or February. So y'all got to think this is August.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were not trying to get the feds involved. You know, if there's the feds start getting involved and they start looking at the whole department, you know, they start looking at the whole unit, not just these six individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no chief wants his whole, you know, office scrutinized and looked at, because when you start, you know, turning over, you know, lifting up rocks and stuff, you start finding all kind of little critters and things up underneath there.
Well, you begin to find out that they've been doing this for as long as they've been on
the force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think they were trying to get the chief to step down and he has refused to step down.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also running unopposed. Mm-hmm. So that tells you like this is going to be a long journey and more than likely, these men and their families or anybody around them will probably need to relocate for their safety.
Well, I'm glad that they survived to be able to tell their story.
Sorry, y'all.
Because this
the
is
bubbly got
good.
Dr. Strickland going down fast.
Pimp down, pimp down.
I'm sorry.
Come back to us.
Let me come up.
She gonna be all right.
Yeah, she gonna be all right. We gonna make sure she gonna be all right.
Go ahead with what you
but I'm just glad that they were able to survive to be able to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they had the courage to tell their story because this was torture and it could have put a level of fear in them that they would have just gone back to living their lives and then took it out on society.
Yeah. It takes me back to the situation in Memphis with the police officers that the individual really was stalking him because he had found out that he had been in some sort of relationship with his ex. And, you know, he didn't get to tell his story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And it just hurts because it's always like the sweetest souls that get situations like this. And it's almost like it has to be them in order for it to gain traction. Cause I think of like people like Philando Castile and, you know, different people like that, who the community loves them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really
sad. And the thing about it is like, I understand you being concerned about your neighbor. And I understand, you know, wanting to make sure they were okay. But if you were that concerned about your neighbor, you could have had her number. You should have had her number to be able to call and check on them. Because I have my neighbor's number. So if she sees, and she has my number. So if she sees something weird, she call, neighbor, You see something going on over at the house?
My neighbor called on me one time.
She did. She said, it's a white car.
In front of your house.
And now y'all know she be over my house all the time. So I don't know why, but it was dark outside.
She's like, there's a car in front of your house.
Yeah.
But you
called the property owner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or the person that would have been leasing. Because I can't remember if this was a owned property or a leased property. Yeah. But I'm just like, call me. Or don't come knock on my door, because if it is something bad, I don't want you to get hurt. But you get what I'm saying. Right. Do some type of
intervention that is, can we do a step before?
Right. Yeah. You didn't call the non-emergency number. You called him.
Right.
You called and that police officer.
So you already know what they're a part of. Mm-hmm. You know it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why you called, in my mind. That's why you called. So.
Yeah. A mess. But they have all pled guilty
and admitted to everything. Mm-hmm. These are no longer alleged crimes. These are proven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad that these men will get justice in some shape or form.
Yeah.
You know, whether it will be enough to ever account for the pain that these men have gone through, probably not. But it is at least some. Sorry, this bubbly done got me, y'all. Sorry. But at least it's something to, you know, atone for, that these men will, you know, at least suffer a portion of their life.
Well, the point of this is, I mean, what Dr. Strickland is saying is that once you've experienced something like this, you will never not have experienced it. Now, will it decrease in your mind? Yes. But there still can be triggers that will bring it right back up.
Yeah. Yeah. Their brains have changed.
Right.
Oh yeah. The men they were are no longer in existence.
Yeah.
These are different men now.
They died in that house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they,
that just broke my heart right there.
Yeah. They can probably come back if they're able to do the work and the healing. But they will forever be changed.
A version of, I would agree. Mm-hmm. I think with both of y'all, a version of them can come back. But the men that they were.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, those men don't exist anymore.
And the thing is, you know, if anybody knows them that watch us or follow us, please tell them to go to therapy. Please. Like
their supports.
They need to they need to talk this out. They need to talk about the fear. They need to talk about the trauma. Mm-hmm. They need to talk about the depression that they may even experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just anxiety. The anxiety. Like, they need to talk about all of that.
Yeah. 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 As, you know, we work with different people who have survived traumas and things of that nature. It's important to realize supports, the people that are supporting them, that you need to be gentle with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, yes.
Because they can't be the person that they once were. You know, they don't have the capacity. They don't need to be, you know, they don't need to act. They don't need to be stoic. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. That's not being strong. It is okay for them to fall apart and then to have the control to put themselves back together in the best way that they can.
And it's okay for them to not be okay.
Yeah.
Don't try to rush them through this process. Yeah. I don't care if it's a year, 2 years, 3 years. Stop. Don't try to rush them through this process, because they'll have ebbs and flows of how they're doing, how they're feeling. You may see them one moment and they're fine or seem fine. They seem happy. They're laughing and jovial and everything. And the next moment or the next day, they may be in their room with the curtains closed under the cover.
Yeah.
And not being able to come out of their room. And you're like, I just saw you yesterday. You was laughing. That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you go through something like this, no one knows how they're going to react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all say, oh, well, if somebody would do this to me, then you don't know that.
You'll freeze.
You're thinking you John Wick and you not.
That's a movie.
A lot of us is really Eeyore out here in these streets.
Because
or Piglet. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Mm. Because we never know, like, Because I will tell one of my experiences. When I was in Memphis, I used to work at a grocery store called, well, I won't say the name, but I used to work at a grocery store. And one night when I was cashing in my drawer, there was a arcade game that was right next to the like office where we were supposed to turn in our drawer. A guy came in and robbed the store, and he jumped over the little thing, divider. And I froze. Like, I didn't know what to do. He had a weapon that could immediately hurt me. So, and the woman that was in there with me, I froze. And y'all know I think I'm big and bad, especially then. And I froze. And I was like, and I saw him again. Y'all, I mean, they know the story. So he came back in the store. This time I didn't freeze, but he also didn't have a weapon. So you never know how you're going to, because your mind immediately, it kind of stops and things start going in slow motion. And it's like, what am I supposed to do? What am I, what if I do something, you don't know.
You have a million and one micro decisions that you're making in a traumatic moment. And any of them could be right or wrong.
Yeah, in your situation, that's probably what saved you, because you didn't move at all.
Because he turned it on me and said, don't move. And I was in command.
You said, let me listen.
You know, it's just it's amazing from the place of like research to see what the brain and the body goes through in situations like this. And there is a huge difference in the brain of someone who has not been traumatized and someone who has. There is a level of deterioration, and sometimes even the brain can begin to die off. It's just not good. We have Whoa Joe, and said, "Hey y'all, I'm late, but I'm tuned in from Memphis, Tennessee."
Hey, hometown. Yes.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hometown.
Yeah. So y'all keep them lifted up, because they are currently in the process of their
state trial.
They already did the federal trial, I believe, last week or the week before, something like that. And they're currently in that process. So they will be reliving these things over and over. And also, you know, I'm not going to hate. Also pray for the officers' families, the ones who.
Because everybody's losing.
Everybody lost.
Everybody.
You know, so. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. So our next story, I'm going to let Dr. Strickland lead it, because this was her thing. But it is about if y'all saw the movie Blindside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Talk about, you know, people of another persuasion doing things to people that look like us. That's a good segue. So this just kind of broke out the last couple of days. So Michael Orr, who is a retired NFL player, has recently come out saying that the story, The Blind Side, we all got blindsided. Like, that is just a big old lie. That the, I'm assuming you say TUIs. I don't know how to say these individuals. TUIs. They did not adopt him. That they falsely put him into a conservatorship. And if you're not sure what a conservatorship is, it's essentially like guardianship over an adult. You have to be court appointed as somebody's conservator or guardian. And essentially this removes a person's rights away from them. Now, I have overly simplified that, but that's basically what it is. And what he is stating is that these individuals falsely kind of persuaded him, encouraged him to sign away his rights into a conservatorship. And then when it came time to tell the story of The Blind Side, that they completely fabricated all of this, that they saved this poor, you know, from his circumstances, and taught him everything that he knew in football, and helped him become the man that he is or was at that time.
You know, the thing about it is, when Blindside first came out, he said that then.
He's been saying that.
He's been
critiquing the film since it came out, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think he took it this far as to take them to court or to sue. Or maybe he did. It just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been saying this since that movie came out.
Yeah.
Rose said they put him in a Britney Spears.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, sort of. Not as severe as hers, but yes.
Yeah. Because she has had a full guardianship.
Yeah. Where she can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was, even though he was pretty much an adult, he was still a child.
I think he was 18 or something.
Yeah, 18. Like he was still in school.
Yeah.
But
they also, from what he said, they presented it as though it was adoption papers.
Yeah. Yeah. And what kid, you know, if he was struggling in any way, not saying that it was at that severity, wouldn't want to be taken care of.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and to have a family because he loved, it seemed like he loved the
siblings.
Children. Yeah. The siblings. And they loved him, seemingly.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that he's also kind of putting out there is that the parents put their own biological children into the contracts for the movie, The Blind Side. So that the children, so that the parents and the biological children would receive royalties.
Well, SJ said that he did receive a check.
Who said?
SJ, the son.
Oh yeah,
he said he received the check, and he said he doesn't know why his parents didn't adopt. You know, he don't know the story. He was a child,
he was a kid,
right? So, but he does remember his father giving him a check.
Mm-hmm. That they received royalties from the film, but the movie that the man is about did not receive. I think he received. I think I read somewhere it was like 60,000, but
he didn't receive anything.
Oh, I see.
But I might be
wrong. Y'all check it.
Fact check that. Because, you know, you can read two different things and it say something different everywhere. So he either receives something between 0 and 60,000.
What I think is going to happen with him coming out and being more vocal this time is that people are going to conflate how they feel about the actress that played her with the woman who actually did these things to him. Because we love her.
Right.
But the mama, we don't know that woman.
Right. So y'all, Sandra Bullock is not the woman did this.
She's not the mama.
Yeah. And the actor that played him is not him either.
But no.
Because that is one thing that he made a statement and came out and said. It was like, do not come down on Sandra Bullock. Because some people are saying, you know, we're trying to say that she should have her Oscar removed.
No.
Because, and it's like, no, her Oscar is about her performance of the role.
And she got the same lie we got.
Right.
Right. Right. So I completely agree with you on not, you know, trying to collapse those two things together and keep them very separate.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things that he said was, you know, the film made him look so inept, but so great at football that it dampened his actual football career.
Oh,
because people expected something out of him on the football field that the movie inflated, but, you know, was not necessarily real in real life. You know, they sensationalized certain parts, and that, you know, they thought that he was going to be this, you know, ultimate like phenom when it came to football, and his career didn't live up to what the film was.
Yeah, he had a normal career.
Right. Which I think he was in the NFL for 8 years. So he had a great stint in the NFL.
I remember when I watched it, I was like, how is he this ignorant and this smart to go to this particular college? And I understand nepotism and I understand all those things, but you have to have something.
Mm-hmm. You still got to bring something to the school.
So I do agree. It was a bit of an exaggeration from even what we saw. It never set well with me.
Yeah.
Jay Danielle says, I always felt that the story was an exaggeration to make it movie worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is sad that the Tuohy family has made more money and status off his name than he made.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so it's about him. So how he didn't make the most money? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. But this is something that, you know,
been going on for years.
Yes. This is a part of American society is, you know, people making money off of black and brown bodies.
If y'all haven't watched the previous two episodes, please go back and watch the previous two episodes, which is the origin of the Karen meme.
Yeah.
And what is a Karen?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not kind of like with these officers. It's disgusting, but not shocking.
Right. That's a shame that it's not shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I was just talking to my mom earlier today about, I'm just so tired. Mm-hmm. I just be looking. I done got country, y'all. Excuse me. I look. Let me pull it back. I look at the world and I'm just so disheartened because I'm like, it just don't have to be like this.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Like, you say you don't like me because of my skin color. You say you don't like me because of my gender or because of my preferences in different things. Cool. Keep that to yourself. That's your business. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right.
But that don't mean you got to hurt me. That don't mean you got to come over here in my business, in my lane, and start doing stuff to me.
Right.
And that's why I was saying, like, with the officers, my thing is, for you to have that level of aggression inside, like, that's in you. That, like, you remember we were talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, mm-hmm. that's the ugly inside of you.
Yeah.
Like, just because you don't like, I can't go around slapping everybody I don't like.
It's sociopathic.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I just, that level of, I'm not going to say the word that I always say.
I'm gonna try apathy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can make it professional.
That's a good option.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We can do that. Psychology word.
Try to keep it clean.
Yeah. That level of apathy, I just don't understand. Sometimes I be thinking like we should have stayed segregated.
Ooh, hot take. Okay. Tell us more about that.
Why a hot take?
Because my thing is like when seemingly. We was in Oklahoma doing our thing. We were doing our thing. Y'all the one was mad.
Yeah.
Y'all the one. So it seemed to me y'all the one wanted us to not be segregated no more because y'all wanted to steal. I mean.
Mm-hmm. They didn't steal. They burned.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I'm talking about steal our ideas, keep thieving the stuff that we created. You know, they wanted to be so they can keep stealing like Tui did, stealing this man's talent.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't understand. Like, we should have stayed segregated.
It makes me wonder why is it such a struggle to have community? I was watching someone's TikTok. I don't remember who it was. If y'all know, tag them. But they were talking about everybody always wants to talk about unity and not being divisive and these things like that. But when you ask someone who has that mindset what unity looks like, it's I get to use all of your stuff.
I don't bring nothing that you can use.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, but that's not unity.
Yeah.
That is power and control.
Yeah.
Because when you sit up and you think about unity and community in the vision of an African-American person, the first thing that always comes to mind is Big Mama or Granny or somebody like that, always having some food for you or always helping you with something or always surrounding you in love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that way in these scenarios. Mm-hmm. I don't, that's not unity. You wanted what you wanted and you said by any means necessary.
Yeah. It puts me in the mind of, you know, we're all the three of us are speakers. And every time we get, not every time, most of the time when we get asked to speak at an engagement, they always want to do it. They want us to do it for free.
Oh, Lord. Can you, my budget. Yeah. What is your budget? What is your budget?
And it's not from a place of like nobody throwing shade. It is like I still got to go home and feed myself.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just going to have a moment of vulnerability. What it looked like me having to go to the soup kitchen because I'm giving away services all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's real. Like that ain't no sugarcoat. Like what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Because you want to use all my resources.
Right.
I ain't got none.
Right.
My capacity is closed. Okay. It there are certain people that I will show up and show out for and give what I can give. And I know that they're going to pour back into me. Mm-hmm. But it can't always be, I want to use your stuff, but I don't want to have no skin in the game either.
Yes.
I can't do that.
That's why. I
feel like no, that's a cow. That's a cowardly way to move about in the world.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I think it's time out for people to be doing this level of using each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause this family, these parents use this man.
And it's so funny. Cause what do we teach children? We teach children to share.
Mm-hmm. Be kind, gentle mm-hmm. touch, soft touch, like
yep. work together.
Where did that go?
Then you become an adult and it's like every man for himself mm-hmm. or you and I are going to come together and triangulate against this other person mm-hmm. so that we can get over on them so that we can come up off of this other person.
I don't have the energy for that. Keep that over there.
Because my thing is, I think there's this United States of America is humongous.
We should just be called States of America.
Because we ain't united.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are the Republic of Texas. That ain't never changed.
Yeah.
It ain't never going to.
I just think it's enough room for all of us to win.
It is.
But the thing about it is, if you keep your foot on my neck,
it's going to get broke off.
Now,
that's what's going to happen.
Now it will.
And we'll get to that later in the show.
Yes.
Ro says, I hope y'all discuss the Alabama brawl because Karens learned that day.
Baby, ain't that a segue right there?
Mm-hmm. It ain't. And then Ro said, Jennifer from Friends was being a Karen to Janine Fox. I don't know Friends.
I don't know Friends. I'm sorry.
If you would have said Jennifer, Living Single.
I know Friends. I like.
Okay. Who is Janine Fox? Or is she saying Jamie Fox?
I'm assuming Jamie Fox.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
Got you.
Okay.
Tracking. Typo. Jamie. Okay. She said she meant Jamie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, yeah, I don't know Friends. I'm sorry. I was like, that's not his daughter's name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. It's weird and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But to segue, we do want to make sure that we give props where props are due because this is Black Business Month. Mm-hmm. And the person that we want to highlight today is Nathaniel Alexander.
Hey!
For his creation of the folding chair.
Yeah,
now, we know that Mr. Kroom was the first person to have a patent, but Alexander was the first person to have the patent and the creation. So we're going to give a round of applause to him, and we're going to segue. Don't clap it up. Clap it up. Clap it up. Clap it up.
We should have sat on some today.
We should have, but we old.
We wouldn't have made it through the whole session.
My back would have been like, girl.
Exactly. But we're going to segue on into our next topic. And for everybody who knows what that chair represents.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. It is, you know, a little thing happened on the water of Montgomery.
A Black History moment was born mm-hmm. on August 5th, mm-hmm. 2023.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that boat that you guys just saw is called Harriet II, named after Harriet the Tubman. And the significance of this particular area, this dock, this port, whatever you want to call it, is that it was one of the richest areas to sail enslaved people.
Mm-hmm.
And so ironically, before the Battle of Montgomery 2023 happened, a group of women had just went to the water to celebrate the ancestors and everyone that had lost their life in the trades of life, the human trafficking that was going on. And needless to say, a couple of hours later, all hell broke loose.
Mm. Ooh, the hilarity that.
It's
and the pride that broke loose.
And let me say, we don't condone violence.
I don't condone
and
violence.
And that's not what we're talking about in this situation. But
we don't,
as clinicians, but she got other things going on.
As clinicians, I don't condone
unprovoked
using
violence.
Your words.
Yes.
I don't condone unprovoked violence. If you provoke me, that I was almost.
She does condone retaliation.
Yes.
So for anybody who has not heard of this and y'all
you
been under a rock somewhere.
You under a boulder. You ain't under a rock. You are under a mountain or something.
Yeah. Just woke up
there
out of a coma.
No way Yeah. You made it through last week and did not hear about this.
Yes.
Yes.
So what ended up happening is that there was a boat that I just showed a moment ago that was coming into the port, the dock, to dock themselves. And there was a smaller watercraft that was in their spot, which if you know anything, you know, there's a common decency that goes on the water or flying in the air or whatever. And so they had an individual come and get the co-captain of the boat, which was an African-American man, and one of the other staff members to go and try to find the person and or to move it. And so they couldn't find the person. And this had been going on for like 40 minutes. And so they went ahead and moved the boat up some, but it still needed to be moved because this is a larger craft that's trying to dock. What then ensues is the African-American co-captain or first mate going back and forth with the family because they eventually found him. And from what we can tell, they may have been a little bit inebriated, a little bit been out in the sun too long under the influence.
Hold on. Put a pin right there.
Pin.
Because the captain, I heard a podcast with the captain on there and he was saying that this particular family has called
it all the time.
They do it all the time.
This
wasn't the first rodeo.
Do all kind of things.
They stole the golf cart. They had to find it, and they found out that they had it and all that.
So they some menaces.
Yeah.
Menace to society. And so what ends up happening is that they jumped the co-captain of the Harriet II. But in jumping him, right before everything broke out, he threw the bat signal up in the air, which was his hat, and it spun beautifully out to signal, "I need help. Help me, people." That's edited. And so then they did, and he looked to be an older black man. And so they got him down, and history tells us that if he wouldn't have had help, that man wouldn't have made it the way things were going, because it ended up going from one person to two people to three. And then eventually it was about six people, six or so people on him, which it was a family, friends. We had what is his name? Jamichael Phelps. That's not his real name.
Michael Phelps.
Aquaman.
No, this the reverse.
Oh, gotcha.
So that he jumped into the water to swim across, and you had other people running down from up top to try to get the people off of him. And if you really look at the footage, the majority of the people in the beginning were trying to separate and get him up.
Then the co-workers took their shirt off. So did they.
So, yeah, it was on.
It was on and popping.
When the co-workers. Shout out to the coworkers for taking their shirt off.
Yes.
To not represent the company.
Yeah.
Because they knew what was about to go down. And when he hiked them shorts up, I said, "Oh yeah, it's about to."
He was skipping.
Black
people call for, "I'm about to get you, sucker."
Yeah. Yeah. It's you got the right one today. And the wrong one
today.
Thiesman says, "Black people are so creative and resourceful. From the patents to the point of contact." Amen. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? But needless to say, it was, as they've been calling it, the river, riverboat brawl or the river brawl, the Montgomery brawl. It just has been going by a bunch of names. There's a whole playlist. The title track is "Nuck If You Buck." There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But what ended up happening after that is that a few people were arrested. Nobody at the beginning was charged or anything, but just a lot of people were arrested because, you know, you have to sort through when you have that many people. You don't know what's going on. The police had been there.
They was just kind of like, they was just observing.
They was kind of like parlaying up to the, you know.
It wasn't until
Right. The thing that I can respect about this, though, is that they threw them hands. They ain't pull out no weapons.
Nothing.
Like old school, like threw them hands.
Yeah. And so I'm going to show you guys some of the people that actually are being charged. The first two are Zachary Shipman and Alan Todd. If I'm not mistaken, I think these were the two that started the fight with the black captain. If not both of them, I know Alan Todd was one of the ones that actually started.
I think he was the one who football tackled him down to the ground.
I think so. And then on our next slide, we have Mary Todd, and Richard Roberts. Mm-hmm. And
I think he was the one who started it. He was the one who was down there talking to him by himself first.
Was talking, but I mean, through the punch, I think it was the other guy.
Yeah.
He's the one that kind of ran up on him and yeah.
And then unfortunately, Unc, because he got a little too aggressive, which was Reggie Ray. He was wielding the chair.
Yeah.
He has also been charged.
But he was let go the same day, I think.
Everybody was let go the same day because they had to attend to some wounds and different stuff like that. But these people have actually been arrested, reported in, and they are now in jail.
Yeah.
So a lot happened in that situation.
So,
but
you know, after they, when they were going to, when they went to the hospital, they went to the hospital and it was, I guess, a predominantly black hospital, and they didn't want to be treated, which I can understand because you probably thought that they saw the video and you was about to get jumped again or something. So I can understand it.
It wasn't until Sunday.
Yeah.
That thing blew up.
Yeah.
And took off like wildfire.
Yeah. But they said even some crazy stuff then.
They did. Mm-hmm.
They documented it and they were saying racial slurs and talking crazy. I was like, well, let me not say what I would have said. But I was like, well, then go on somewhere else then if you don't want to be treated, because nobody knew what had happened at that hospital.
I don't know, because they was filming it and it was on live TikTok stuff. So I don't know if it was, if they had seen it by then, but they may not have. It could be too
viral.
Maybe it wouldn't have gone viral, but either one of two things: the racial slurs was continuing to act out, or they were scared because they thought people already knew.
Possibly
both.
I would say it's probably a little bit of both. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, this is the, you know, FAFO. You know.
Mm-hmm.
This is play the phase stupid, of find
yeah,
out.
Mm-hmm. Play stupid game, win stupid prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, inebriated or not, unless you are just like completely so far over the legal limit, you still got just an edge of reality in your mind.
Yeah. My thing is, what possesses you to assault somebody at their job? Because you don't want to do something. Sir, you can't park where you don't pay for. This is not your parking spot.
But again, they have been doing this for some time and have not, seems like they have not had any significant consequences.
Because they asked them not to press charges, that when they found them, realized that they were the ones who stole the golf carts, they asked them not to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
The police officers did.
I'd have been like, nah, I'm going to do it.
You know, had I don't know what would have taken this thing to end. You know, had Unc not, you know, busted old girl. Because, you know, they was just kind of just letting
chilling.
It. They was kind of letting it
ride.
Because
when he hit the dude,
it was fine.
They was still,
they
but I think
letting
it was
it
the lady.
But once he hit old girl, then it was like, okay, all right
we got right this up.
You doing too much.
Right.
So I'm like, I wonder how long this would have gone on.
I don't think it would have gone on much longer because there wasn't much fight left in the people that started it. At that point,
yeah, because somebody got baptized.
The
and
Crocs
everything.
Was crocking.
Oh, God.
When I saw those Crocs eating that man's legs and ankles, I went and put my Crocs on and was like, and I was like, I don't like, was his toenail sharp? Like, how did your feet get through there? And you didn't have them in sport mode.
No, he
didn't.
That's
part of the problem.
Right.
That is not a recreational shoe if it's not in sport mode and it's not a good shoe to have on your foot. In water.
No.
But I wonder if they're going to consider that the Unc was a captain. And if they're going to have to do federal time, because he's a captain.
Maybe, but it may be different because the dock is considered land.
But
you get what I'm saying? Versus being on the water is a little bit different.
But they were on the water because they couldn't park.
But when the assault happened, it was on the dock.
On land.
Yeah.
So
Ain't no telling.
But what I'm going to tell y'all, it tickled me.
It tickled me.
Oh,
pink.
I watched that evening.
Girl, I don't watch so many videos about that. I was like, girl, that was my
that
entertainment.
All
like,
evening.
When y'all watched it, did y'all hear like the Avenger movie music coming up? I'd like. Either that or Star Wars. Like, I felt all kind of coming.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Like, yeah. I said,
I'm proud. And I know that sound weird, but I'm not, I don't, like I said, I'm not it's here not for the violence. Fight. It's just that we came were able together, to came together mm-hmm. and we didn't have to stand by and just watch somebody else get, I was like, cause I can't do too many more watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it was. Yeah. Cause this man was being needlessly beat on. It wasn't like this, you know, this was two people in a bar fight and, you know, they were both kind of going at it. Like, y'all, this man was doing what he's supposed to be doing
for over, really over an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were patient with you. You guys have a history of doing this. And this is, you're not supposed to be there. Like, what happened? What I want to know is what happened to the shut up and comply people?
Right.
Where are them folks at?
Right.
Or the shut up and dribble people.
Right. He should have complied.
Yeah.
They should have complied. Like, where are them people at? Mm-hmm. Like, just move your boat. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Just swing around. It's a boat.
It's a place of business.
Swing around and you can park behind them a little ways away, but you can park behind them. And where was y'all at to where y'all left y'all boat? That's just a lot of trust.
It was covered up.
It was covered up. And y'all saw that he was trying, they was moving it.
Yeah.
Because y'all probably wouldn't have came down if they wouldn't have started moving. Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you got all these people. I think, I don't remember how many people, but I think it was like 200 people on the Harriet too that need to disembark. They got other places to go.
Yeah.
Now they staying longer because they came for a show.
Right.
Boy.
And then the captain who, based off of his voice, I'm assuming is a Caucasian man. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the fact that the crew had just come back from a long trip of a week or so where it was just the crew and they bonded and all that other kind of stuff. Oh, you was going to get the business that day because now you hurting family.
Right.
That's my work family.
Right. Yep.
We don't do that here.
Yep. That's true.
Ro says, I consumed an unhealthy amount of footage.
Look, yes. I think we all did.
Yes.
I said, ooh, another angle.
I know.
Ooh, another angle.
I wanted to see the angle where the dude jumped in.
Oh, like, I finally saw that.
I did too.
I was like,
I did too.
And that little man, that young man who was 16.
Yes.
Good job on your swimming. Ancestors was carrying you on across that water. But he got hands too. Other footage was released a little bit later on that showed him in the midst of everything. I said, okay.
he was getting it.
Yeah.
A girl ran up on him. He just mushed her on to the side. I said,
mm-hmm.
Come on, son.
Protect your elder.
Yeah.
And that probably, I can just only imagine, like, yeah, it's funny, but then, like, the people who endured that,
mm-hmm.
like, what impact is that going to have on them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the first unk, not the chairman, but the first unk.
Yeah.
How that's going to impact him. Yeah, he probably going to be able to bounce back or whatever, and on the outside, he going to look okay, but
to know that at my place of work that somebody felt comfortable enough that they could put their hands on me because they wanted to, because they didn't like what I was saying or they didn't like what I was doing.
But then on the flip side, knowing that my coworkers got my back.
Yes. Now that team, I hope they didn't fire none of them people.
I hope they didn't either.
But that's going to be a unit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to want to work together every shift.
Right.
Like, no, we go together.
Yeah. Right.
This our shift. Yeah. Don't put nobody on. Don't take nobody off.
And if Unc ain't here, we ain't here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they a family now.
Yeah.
Now, what I'll say, we've had some things pop off in here.
In here.
It's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time. It was a little scary. Where we've had the band together, it didn't come to fisticuffs or nothing like that. You know, people touching folks inappropriately or people screaming at somebody in the office. Because I know a time or two walked up to Dr. Jones Hines' office, knocked on the door and been like, is everything okay in here?
Oh, yeah. They keep having their ear on my door.
Because I'm like, I don't play that.
It be getting loud.
And people know I keep that thing on me.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they wasn't gonna make it out of here today. Mental health.
But you know, I don't think people really talk about how, you know, we have this thing where, you know, what people say, my work family, and they put such a negative spin on it and say that, you know, corporations are trying to use people and things like that. But and I'm not gonna sit here and say that's not true. That, you know, sometimes when companies say that,
that they're trying to take advantage of the employee. But you do want to have a cohesive environment where everyone feels, you know, a part of the team,
safe,
welcome. And, you know, when I think of work family, that's the type of descriptor that comes to mind for me. Not that, you know, you gonna do anything I want you to do or do whatever I tell you to do, you know. It's more that we get along and we want to be here together.
Yeah. Jay Danielle says, LOL. Yes, ma'am. You definitely keep that thing on you. LOL. I'm protective. I'm typically the shortest person in the friend group, but y'all going to be safe and get behind me. Okay. Get down and get behind me. But
look, I don't mind feeling small sometimes.
I'll be your big spoon girl.
Okay. Like, look.
Yeah, I don't play that. And I'm glad that his people didn't play that either.
Yeah.
And I'm also glad that people were filming the entire boat rally.
The entire time.
Yeah.
And literally from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and what people don't realize is that they have been waiting so long that once the people actually showed up right before the fighting started, the people on the boat was like, move, B.
Get out the way.
Like, they was like,
yes,
move. We trying to get off this boat. We were supposed to be somewhere an hour ago.
Yeah. Like, Lord forbid, I actually had plans to be somewhere or reservations to be somewhere else.
It's or over. At the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honey, the plane is not going to wait.
It's done.
It's gone.
So now this company going to have to reimburse me.
Or another boat ride after this. So now, now I done missed my ride.
And it looked like it actually could have been because it was so many people up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
A hot damn mess.
It sure is. But it was just what I needed. After all the stuff that's been going on, I said,
yeah.
It fed my black soul.
Yeah, because that the six officers, I couldn't when I heard the one guy speaking about it, I couldn't even listen to the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ironically, after the brawl, there were other little bitty broke out. And I said, where's all these folding chairs coming from? Yeah, everybody was getting mollywopped with chairs. In
Detroit, that dude was going to work on that man. Somebody actually had to stop him because he was getting ready to hit him. And he was like,
it was about to be over.
Like, he was cold on the ground. And he was like, hey.
You don't need one more.
Yeah.
Don't do one more.
I was like, oh, good for stopping him because he was already he had hit that you know, when people fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oof. Yeah, he's out of there.
It's like that TikTok sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was too much. It was a lot going on. And I think, you know, what people need to realize, and I know we've said this many times in the community, is that we are our ancestors' wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And their blood flows through us. As many revolts and rebellions that occurred, people are tired. Mm-hmm. Just stop messing with me.
Yeah.
Just do what you're supposed to do. Have some
integrity.
Stop
messing with our culture. Do that part. Like, go, if you want to mess with since y'all all just believe the same thing. Yes. Play with yourself.
Not in a fun way.
Well, y'all think it's fun to play with us, so play with yourself and think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think people are learning. Mm-hmm. You got to stop doing stuff. Just fill out, go do what you need to do.
Because everybody's on edge. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
For a variety of reasons.
The thing is, all of that energy that we have, that tired energy that we got, you're going to get all of that. Even if it don't cause for that, you're going to get all of it if you don't stay in your lane. Mind your business. Don't be calling the police on my house because you done heard some scream. We'll deal with it. If somebody end up unalive, just let it be unalive in our house.
She said, really don't bother
me. She is done.
Don't bother
me. Leave me alone.
Yes.
Yes. In the words of Ricky Smiley.
Leave me alone.
Yes, y'all. So that is all of our topics for today, but we do want to let you guys know that because of the topics that we chose for the month of August, we will be having Movie Mental Breakdown next week, and it is The Help, because we want to go in line with the topics that we have chosen. we tried to not do a heavy recap of it, but there are some heavy moments.
Yeah.
So just be prepared for that. But also make sure you watch the movie first so that you can join along and comment and do all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen The Help or read The Help, because the book is good too. So
yeah.
Any final comments, words?
Next month is gonna be great.
I know we
got about 2 weeks before we get to next month, but we're gonna be talking about the manosphere and the red pill and all these alpha males with the podcast. Yes.
And this is if y'all don't know, this is Dr. Strickland's like
specialty.
She is
a
proponent for men's mental health. She deals with a lot of men in our practice and is the primary person in the practice that sees them, as well as she does love a good personality disorder as well.
Give me a narcissist any day. I'd be ready. Let's go.
And I'm glad you said that, because all of us have now done something in our specialty. I did addiction. Dr. Wall did, the sexy time. Mm-hmm. And now Dr. Strickland has done the manosphere. So all of us, now you all get a taste of all of our specialties.
And we just want to remind you, just like we did with our Karen episodes, we are here to educate and to enlighten the information. In no way is this going to be a bashing session on anybody, even though we have already received some of our first hate, and we are here for it because it helps the algorithm.
Yes.
So engage if you want to. You still gonna get blocked and deleted.
Like, share, and subscribe.
But it will break down what the manosphere is, the different type of people that are in the manosphere. Mm-hmm. And so it will be a huge deep dive into that. So that's in about 2 weeks in the month of September.
Yep.
We will close out August with MMB, as well as one more Disbra, because there are 5 Wednesdays.
Hey, y'all gonna see us again.
So we thank you all for coming out, and hopefully you enjoyed the show. Let us know if there's anything else that y'all need from us, because we will be happy to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please let us know if there are other ideas or topics that you want us to talk about, because we're always looking for extra, things and wanting to know what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Because we know what we want to talk about, but
it may not be what you want to hear.
Yeah. So what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, so we will see you next week. Have a good night, everybody.
Deuces.
Must be his volume control.
So, okay, interns, process your notes. Be sure to catch us next session and find us on all major platforms at The Recycled Podcast.
If you're a new intern, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Thanks for listening. And remember, we are shifting and reshaping our psyche through healing conversations and connections, one discussion at a time.